This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, Attorney General Barr gets tough on illegal immigration with a new rule for the Department of Justice prosecutors.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
What the Attorney General is effectively doing is he is overturning a 2005 ruling that determined if a migrant came to this country and could demonstrate credible fear of persecution if they were to leave the U.S., that they could then be free on bond. Well, that's not going to be the case anymore.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Under the new guidance, the administration is arguing that under the Immigration and Nationality Act, the administration is permitted to detain all undocumented immigrants until their immigration hearings have concluded.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. There's so much speculation and focus on the Mueller report being released tomorrow morning in Washington, D.C. You don't want to forget what's actually happening at the Department of Justice under Attorney General Barr's leadership, and he's announced a new plan, a new rule change. It goes into effect in 90 days to deny bail to some asylum seekers at the southern border, giving more flexibility for his prosecutors and for those ICE officials, the asylum officials as well, who have to get past that credible fear ruling. Then you go to the next stage and say, we're not just going to do this kind of, basically amounts to like a catch and release policy of asylum seekers that you will never find again. So that they're not going to show up necessarily at their hearing, which is a big difference between those who are legitimately seeking asylum, coming through ports of entry, taking a flight. Maybe it's out of the Middle East. Maybe it's somewhere in, it could be from any country where they're facing actual government sponsored persecution. Or persecution because of their faith, their background, their race. I mean, it is laid out what you have got to make a case for. And one thing that is excluded is economic hardship. So just economic hardship because your country's going through a tough time is not always enough. That's why if we're going to have a special rule for Venezuelans or for Cubans, you have to have a special rule because you have to show other issues of hardship. This goes, it's already, the left is saying they're already going to challenge this. Now, these are people who say they want to be part of the system. They want to go through the process. And I do believe what happens here is, let's just put some facts out. There are over 800,000 of these cases backlogged already. We know 100,000 plus people are being apprehended at the border illegally a month right now. 100,000 plus. That's what we told we're on track for. So you got 100,000 plus being apprehended. You're already at 800,000 backlog just on these asylum cases. Than, I think this is a message to people and trying to kind of get through the misleading information that gets through those coyotes and these groups that bring that people pay to bring them across the border and engage in human trafficking, basically, is that just because you come to the U.S. illegally and make this asylum claim, you're not going to now necessarily be released on bond and be able to disappear into the shadows of America.
Jordan, I think it's the latest signal that this administration is very serious about doing everything in its power to address this border crisis. You're right. It's also a message to those who would cross illegally that we are no longer going to let our asylum process be abused. I mean, Jordan, you know that this has been a magic bullet for those who just want a free pass into the country. And the release into the country has typically happened in one of two ways. Either they're granted a bond hearing after claiming asylum, they're released on bond and they never return for their court hearing, or, Jordan, we simply run out of detention space, so there's no choice but to release them, and many times we never see them again after they're released into the country. Jordan, this new rule from Attorney General Barr addresses the first half of that. No longer will they be granted a bond hearing. They will be detained until their process is complete. I will tell you this, though. The second half of that, the detention space, Jordan, that still needs to be addressed, and that's where Congress has got to come in. We're out of space. They need to grant more.
Yeah, I mean, and you're talking about serious detention, too, when you're talking to people about when there's an 800,000 case backlog, you could be facing serious detention until your case is heard. And so I think it is very important, and it does underscore, it will bring to light a lot of the other issues, like the lack of space. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. This latest move by the Trump administration to get tougher on illegal immigration, illegal entry into our country. We'll be right back on Jay Seculo Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Cross the border illegally, you claim asylum, and you get past round one, which is a very low bar of a credible fear. So you're making a case that you have a credible fear if you return home of your life being in jeopardy. And there's reasons why. It's, you know, it's nationality, race, religion, something about you personally other than economics, other than just I can't get a good job. That's not enough. It's got to be the government coming after you. Sometimes we've expanded it to if it's in some of these places where cartels are very powerful, if they're specifically coming after you, not just because maybe you come from a violent city, but that you're being singled out or your family is being singled out. And so you make that initial argument. Okay, so you credible fear. And then you've got to go to a hearing. There's a court process. We have over 800,000 of these cases backlogged in the country right now. Well, a large group was basically coming in, making those claims, and then being released. I don't even know how, honestly, they find these 800,000 people with the backlog. I mean, when you're that backlogged and you've been released into the country, and I think probably for the most part, a lot of these people think that if they get to this and they get released into the country, that, you know, how do you find out about your case? You don't even have an address yet. You don't have a place where to contact. How do you contact these individuals? And that has been the policy, though. So now Attorney General Barr has announced the Department of Justice will give the flexibility for those of our U.S. officials to put in place long-term detention while these cases are being figured out. So while you go through the process, even if you get past round one, you stay in the detention process, so you stay in U.S. custody so that we know where these individuals are. This could be a huge deterrent for people who think, oh, that, you know, they're always trying to find what's the hole in our immigration system right now. How do you get into the country? Get in and then get out of custody and kind of, again, as I say, you really go into the shadows of America. And for the most part, as we talk about that number, it's 12 to 20 million illegal immigrants in our country. You kind of join that group, whether you came in as a legal immigrant or someone seeking asylum and you haven't had your case adjudged. And, you know, where does your court notice go 5 years from now? I mean, you know, when you have a backlog of 800,000 plus cases. So, again, I think this is a strong move. 1-800-684-3110. It will be challenged. It goes into effect in 90 days. The ACLU, liberal groups, are already saying we're going to challenge this. We believe this is a human rights abuse. Let me go to Harry first. Harry, this again, this policy, trying to deal with the realities that the government faces. It's over 800,000 cases backlog. The realities, too, of there's not much space left in the detention facilities, but maybe trying to give Congress. We know Senator Graham is trying to introduce bipartisan legislation. We can talk about that in a bit on immigration. Try to build some bipartisan consensus here that, you know, so until we fix that problem, these numbers like an 800,000 backlog could jump over to a million very, very soon. If the reports are right that, you know, there's 100,000 plus people being apprehended a month.
I think you're precisely correct. So there are a number of things that we ought to consider. So first, we ought to note that the mayor of Yuma, Arizona, has declared an emergency in his city. Yuma, Arizona, is squarely on the border. Number two, there is indeed insufficient detention space at our detention centers. Thirdly, we should note that the catch and release program for illegal border crossers incentivizes additional illegal border crossing in the future. This is so because the catch and release policy reduces the opportunity cost of crossing the border illegally. This new policy by Attorney General Barr increases the opportunity costs for illegal border crossers and hence reduces the economic incentives to cross into the United States illegally and to join the underground economy filled with individuals who are underpaid and who undercut the income of legal American citizens. So this is a major step forward. It reverses a policy that has been in effect, I believe, since 2005. And I think we need to see additional policy initiatives like this by the Trump administration, particularly in light of the unwillingness of Congress to take the border security and crossing situation seriously.
Wes, you've written a lot about the idea of this humanitarian issue. I think also this is that signal of it's, don't think that you just can claim this, get through round one, and you're in the United States now.
Yeah, what Attorney General Barr really doing is just stating the obvious, you know, aspects of the law. The Immigration and Nationality Act states clearly that once you establish credible fear and you're claiming asylum, the law says that those people, quote, shall be detained for further consideration of the application for asylum. What's happening now, and it's part of the craziness of our immigration system and why Senator Graham's correct, we need immigration reform. As it stands now, if you come to a legal port of entry claiming asylum, you're not even eligible for a bond hearing. They will detain you. However, the way it's been set up since 2005, if you come across illegally between ports of entry, you are eligible for a bond hearing. So the coyotes that are getting people across the border, they're gaming the system. They're saying, don't go through a legal port of entry, cross illegally, and you have the potential for a bond hearing. And you talked earlier, Jordan, about the people who disappear into the shadows once they are released on bond. They're given ankle bracelets. Yesterday, the Department of Homeland Security's Advisory Council issued their report, which had four concrete recommendations. But in the interview with the media, one of the members of that council said the problem with releasing them into the interior, even with an ankle bracelet, they frequently put them on Greyhound buses and send them to some border city along the southern border. At those Greyhound bus stations, the trash bins, they said, are full of ankle bracelets that have been cut off. These people, once they're released, they have no intention of coming back for an asylum hearing. They disappear and they're never heard from again. So what Barr is doing, I think, makes sense. It takes away some of the incentive of the people who want to come across in between ports of entry, and it makes sense.
If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're taking some phone calls now. Bruce in Washington State on line three. Bruce, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call. I really can't imagine how this could be a great step forward at the problem of providing adequate detention facilities has been the issue from the outset, and our inability to provide those facilities given the volume of people nearing the border and attempting to cross, and the legal requirements for providing these facilities has not gone away, and they're already full. So, what's the advantage to this? It just puts we can't build detention facilities quickly enough. A tent city would be challenged immediately by the ACLU as being, inadequate housing. If the FEMA trailers that were designed for domestic emergencies and natural disasters were put into use, that would remove that resource from its availability for our own citizens, were to we have a hurricane or something of that nature. It just seems to put the administration in an ever-increasing box. And, where do we go from here?
I think, Dan, you brought this up. And the idea is that the tough realities that go along with these rule changes, we know detention facilities. The government said it has no longer space to detain most of the thousands of immigrants. And this is different than just people claiming that are coming here illegally. These are people who have gotten through round one. But even going so far as to say that they're running out of money to drive people to jail, and this is the U.S. government making these claims, I think all of this is a attempt to get the attention of Congress, the American people as well, to do something. Basically to say, listen, we have the laws in place, the rules in place, but if you can't implement them and then you move like we did years ago into this idea of catch and release, that's how you get to these numbers that I'm sure are more staggering than we even know. I think the 12 million number is probably way too low. If the number is 100,000 plus people entering illegally being apprehended, I mean, 100,000 plus, that is over a million a year that we know about. I mean, imagine those numbers must be growing through points that we can't even fully comprehend. And even the left, the liberal media, they're taking this as fact now. They're no longer challenging the crisis issue.
Jordan, there's no question but that the system has been swamped. I mean, Bruce is correct. That's why the Attorney General gave the Department of Homeland Security 90 days to prioritize their resources. But, Jordan, the solution is not to just simply throw your hands up in the air and say you're not going to try to enforce the border. It's actually the opposite. It's to get tough, say we are going to enforce it. No longer are we going to give you a free pass. Bruce is correct on this point, Jordan. We can get into this more, but there is no question but that Congress is going to have to authorize additional detention space. Senator Graham is trying on that. But for a long-term solution, Jordan, Congress absolutely has to be a part of the equation. But I'm glad that the administration is willing to lead the way.
All right. We come back. We'll continue to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. Senator Lindsey Graham as well is going to attempt something very difficult to watch right now. Build consensus around immigration reform. We'll talk about that as well.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Let's play Senator Graham. Senator Lindsey Graham is putting forward a plan. He's working on an attempt at bipartisan immigration reform to try and build bipartisan support because of the crisis that no one, you know, at first you were mocked, you know, to say a crisis by the liberal media. Now everyone is taking that for granted. It's so many people. The conditions are so bad that is now accepted by everyone. Take a listen to Senator Graham.
I'm tired of talking about this problem. I want to fix it. I think all Americans should want both parties to fix this problem. The president has correctly identified the crisis at the border. Now it's time to have a legislative solution. You need to change our laws for this to stop. So I'll be introducing a package, and hopefully with Democratic support, that will change our asylum laws. 90% of the people apply for asylum never make it, so the standard needs to change.
And again, he's talking about updating the asylum laws so that more people actually apply can make it through the process legitimately. And that, again, the idea, but I think, you know, he's right then in the sense that we know because of the standards of what is actually required, if you go through the process, and this is the 800,000 plus cases backlogged. If you go through the process, I mean, and we've done these cases before for clients. Yep. It is very serious investigation into the claims you make after round one. If you have to be able to back them up, oftentimes with evidence, not just testimony.
Yeah, a couple of things here, Jordan. First of all, we care very deeply about this asylum process. We've used it in the past, and quite frankly, the abuse that it is undergoing is ruining the process for those who legitimately need to use it. Those who are legitimately in fear of their lives and need a safe harbor are not able to use it because the system is swamped by those who are abusing it. So for those of us who work in this space, Jordan, this kind of reform is absolutely critical to the survival of the program and the ability of those who need it to use it. Secondly, Jordan, it's kind of interesting. About a month ago, we called very specifically on this process, not for Democrats to lead the way. We criticized Senate Republicans for not putting forward a package to address some of the statutory changes that needed to happen. We said that Senate Republicans needed to lead the way on this because some of the statutory fixes had to come through a bipartisan consensus. Lindsey Graham, to his credit, is building that package now. It's going to be built around asylum reform. You're going to have to establish credible fear. It's also going to have to be the first country that you have entered after fleeing the country you were leaving. Jordan, a couple other things. It would also extend the amount of time you're able to detain beyond 20 days because of the Flores decision. And ultimately, Jordan, I think there will be additional authorization for detention space in that package. But here's the question I would ask. Will Democrats in the United States Senate who say they want these reforms, Jordan, will they meet Senator Lindsey Graham in this discussion? Will they be willing to be a part of the solution? At this moment, I have not seen that. But for a long-term solution, that's what it's going to require. Republicans and Democrats joining with the president to actually enact a real solution.
And this is one of the steps of the process. I mean, that's what it is. Like they said, this is the asylum portion of the larger immigration process. Issue that we face in the country. And it's one, again, that is based off a legal processes, a case that has to be made by the asylum seeker, proven facts. So these aren't just illegal immigrants. They're not just people immigrating work reasons or anything like that. This is someone who's saying, I have to be here because my life will be in danger. Like Than said, this country of first origin, this is the first place you've stepped foot in, the first place you can claim asylum. That's part of an international legal standard that could be adopted very quickly by our courts, but we often look the other way. So oftentimes, by the time someone has gotten to the United States, as you can imagine, unless you're in Mexico or Canada as your place of origin, and a lot of these folks are not. They're actually coming from Central America. So they're crossing, could be multiple countries before they come here. It's not as simple as someone got on a plane, maybe took a connecting flight, but never left the airport. See, that's different because if you didn't leave the airport, you didn't really actually take advantage of that country's idea that you could claim asylum there. But that is unique too to kind of that process. So if you think about it that way, if someone trying to get here and make that claim, you could take a couple flights and still make that claim that this was the first place you've been. But if you're going by foot, by vehicle, through multiple countries, it's, well, okay, let's say you're coming from somewhere in South America and you've now crossed into Central America. Was there not a place along the way, it may not be perfect, but that your life is not being targeted, that you're not being hunted down, basically, because you're believing. That's where the asylum law is right now. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. Let's go back to the phones. Karen is calling in from Montana on line one. Karen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. I support President Trump. I support Attorney General Barr. I support Lindsey Graham and the efforts they are doing to secure our southern border. And my question is, if we don't have sufficient detention space and can't build it quickly enough, will that contribute to the reason to close our border?
It should. I mean, now, and I think, again, when you talk about closing the border, we're not talking about closing commerce. I think always everyone likes to jump to that. But Wes, we know what the idea is that we talk about closing the border. We're talking about the idea of closing specific areas where illegal immigration is high, not commerce areas where trucks are, you know, 18-wheelers are going through and being checked.
Right. And one of the things that the president has sort of held over the head of the government of Mexico, which, by the way, they're cooperating with us much more than they have in the past about keeping people there while their claims are being heard in the United States or waiting to be heard. But they've talked about closing down even the legal ports of entry to tourists, not to commerce, because Mexico depends a lot on the tourist trade. One of the things that Lindsey Graham also mentioned in his reforms that he is going to put forward, part of the craziness now of our immigration system and the laws or lack of laws is that we have a lot of unaccompanied minors that come to the United States. If you're an unaccompanied minor from Mexico or Canada, we can send you back home to your family and your friends. Under U.S. law now, unless you are in a country that borders and the borders touch the United States, those unaccompanied minors cannot be returned. So that all the unaccompanied minors from Central America, they're in limbo. We're trying to find foster homes because you can only keep them in detention for 20 days. And under present law, if you're from Honduras or some place like that, we literally cannot return a minor child back to that country. And that's part of what he wants to change, too. In spite of what Congress says, Jordan, I don't think that most members of Congress are taking immigration issues seriously.
No, I think that, you know, we see our callers. You see the calls light up. People are taking it very seriously. I think that, and again, we got a second half hour coming up. We're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. You all have a lot to say on this issue. And I feel like, Harry, every time people have a lot to say, they want to see action by the government. The administration, the executive branch can go as many steps far, but, you know, as Senator Graham said, you can have a president who wants to be as tough as possible. Congress has got to back it up with funding, is building more detention facilities, so that these laws or rules that are put in place by, like, the Attorney General rulemaking processes can actually be enforced.
I think you're precisely correct. Congress, instead of taking action, prefers to ignore the plain and unmistakable evidence right in front of their eyes. They do not want to take a real position other than supporting open borders. It's time for that to change, and it's incumbent on both Republicans and Democrats to do something.
All right, folks, to be part of our show, the second half hour, call now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we've got a matching challenge at aclj.org. Whatever you can donate today, the month of April is doubled. That's aclj.org. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
What the Attorney General is effectively doing is he is overturning a 2005 ruling that determined if a migrant came to this country and could demonstrate credible fear of persecution if they were to leave the U.S., that they could then be free on bond. Well, that's not going to be the case anymore. Under the new guidance, the administration is arguing that under the Immigration and Nationality Act, the administration is permitted to detain all undocumented immigrants until their immigration hearings have concluded.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
If you heard that right there, it should be a huge deterrent. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live in the second half hour. We're taking phone calls, too. Get to those right after this first segment of the second half hour. 1-800-684-3110 should be a major deterrent to folks who are coming here without a. If you're coming here and your life is not being targeted, you're not basically on the run, then it's not going to be worth going through this process because you're going to be detained. Just look at the facts. If there's an 800,000 case backlog and you're 800,001. You're last in line in the case process, and if your life's really at risk and you're being hunted down, that's one thing. You might say, okay, fine. You know, I mean, I'm safer in the detention facility than I am than I am in my country of origin. That being said, Harry, it's interesting that this even had to be a change by the Attorney General. That this wasn't the norm. That we wouldn't just release people who have no address, no way of contacting them, and then expect them to show up at a court hearing years from now.
Yes, and so I think our policy over the last 15, 20, maybe 30 years has been counterproductive. So instead of worrying about the incentives we have created either within our laws or in the application of those laws for illegals to come, we have simply maintained the status quo. We now know that the status quo is simply unsustainable. Our detention centers are overflowing. We have a large number of individuals who are caught and then released. This then incentivizes additional individuals to come and claim asylum. And it's important to note that in order to legally claim asylum, the asylum applicant must demonstrate a credible fear. Well, there's very little evidence in most of these cases that the applicant can, in fact, comply with the rules. However, we now have a new issue that's on the table, one that we have created, and that is if you come to the United States with a child, this essentially has ensured your ability to remain in the United States. So Attorney General Barr has struck an important step in stemming the flow of illegals and providing a disincentive going forward. Wesley was quite correct in pointing out that if these individuals had come from Canada or Mexico, we could return them essentially immediately. But if you come from Central America, indeed, if you travel 1,000 miles through an allegedly violent country of Mexico, we say, welcome. We will give you perhaps bail. We will give you perhaps a detention monitor. And then you can join the underground economy. This makes little sense. And I think the American people have seen through this already. It's time for Congress to open their eyes and take their head out of the sand.
All right, folks, it's 1-800-684-3110. When we come back, we're going to continue to take phone calls. There are a lot of people who have to want to weigh in here, and we're going to allow you to do just that. So if you've got comments on this issue, questions on this issue, and again, the left is slamming this move, indefinite detention. And now what they're really saying is, you've got to go through the process, and we're not going to just let people out and not know where they are and never be able to find them again. And so it's basically just a loophole around getting into the country when there are people waiting in line to go through it in the legal process. We come back again. We just take phone calls, 1-800-684-3110 here on Jay Sekulow Live. Right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Take a listen to Senator Lindsey Graham, then we're going to go right to your phone calls about Congress trying to come up with this fix to the asylum process. He's leading the way, which is a very bold move, this Congress. Even in a Republican Senate, you've got to get Democrat support to have any hope of it moving through the House. And this is just on the asylum issue, which is a small part of the overall immigration problem. Take a listen by Ford.
I hope we do more than just vote. I hope we solve the problem. The administration is going around Congress talking to Democrats about what they want. If we do change the laws, what would they like in return? I'm going to try to find a compromise here. The president's a great deal maker. But doing what we're doing is not working. The crisis has to come to an end. And the only way to bring it to an end is to change our laws. And I will be introducing a package to change the laws that attract so many illegal immigrants from Central America. And hopefully we'll get some Democratic support.
And Than, I think right there, too, it's important. People try to make this an issue of U.S. versus Mexico. But that's really the government issue. It's not where we're seeing the mass influx of individuals right now. This mass influx, the reason why there's been this new crisis, is coming in from south of Mexico. And so as Senator Graham has said, and this is on the asylum issue specifically, it's Central American countries and trying to process these when you've got an 800,000 case backlog. If you don't reform the system, it's just going to grow, and you're just going to be putting people in worse and worse situations.
Well, quite honestly, Jordan, that's why the wall is such an important part of this solution, too, because if you do channel the asylum seekers to the ports of entry, you can actually engage in those negotiations with Mexico a lot better because you have a decision at that point of entry, and it is much, much easier to reach an agreement with Mexico to actually detain them. I would say this to Lindsey Graham's comments, though. I mean, I think he's the right person to try to strike this deal, Jordan, because for about a decade now, he has been someone who has been willing to engage on a bipartisan basis for a comprehensive solution. But I would disagree with him on one small point. At the beginning, he said, I hope we do more than just vote. I agree with what he's saying, but Jordan, I think it is going to take votes. I think it is going to take multiple votes on the floor of the United States Senate to put pressure on Democrats to actually engage on this. If you look at just a proposed solution and you try to get the votes lined up beforehand, I think we've seen from the last decade that that's never going to happen. It's a very big lift. I think Senate Republicans are going to have to put a common sense measure like this on the floor of the Senate and force a vote that's probably going to fail the first time so that the American people can then dial up the pressure, take the vote again, take it as many times as it takes to actually get Congress involved as a part of the solution. I think it'll take multiple votes, if you ask me.
Let's go to Rita calling in from Minnesota online too. Rita, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi. I've wondered this for quite some time. I believe President Trump ran saying that he was going to do mandatory E-Verify. And since he's been in office and we've been having all these problems at the border, I haven't heard anything about mandatory E-Verify. And it seems to me like that would be a big, a good, great solution for the people that make it into the United States. If they can't get a job, I think that there's a good likelihood that they would self-deport.
I think you know, to some extent you're correct. Now, to make E-Verify mandatory at a national level, Than, would take an act of Congress. There are states that have done it. There are states who have said you can't do it. So at the national level, you would have to have, again, Congress coming together and putting this on the president's desk.
Yeah, really heavy lift on a federal level, Jordan. There are states that are passing it. I know Florida's looking at it right now. They're actually having a difficult time moving it through Florida. Yep. Ohio and others are doing it. So it's a little bit of a patchwork approach. I will tell you the federal database is not a perfect solution, but Jordan, I think the use of E-Verify by states would be a disincentive. However, until you get it nationwide, what you're going to do is you're going to funnel people who are legally present to those states where they can most easily get employment. So again, you're talking about another maybe small piece of the puzzle, but Jordan, that's not a silver bullet either. Ultimately, you have to get control of the border and remove the incentives for people to come here illegally.
I mean, in most of these states, even that have it, you're telling you have to be a certain size employer because of the burden it would be on small businesses to go through these systems. And you know that, I mean, most of these people come here illegally. If they do get work, it's day labor work, it's cash work. And so they're probably not even, for the most, I'm not talking about the large, you know, corporations that get busted by ICE. But Harry, we're talking about, again, to really get to the heart of the issue, it'd be a piece of the puzzle, just like asylum reform would be a piece of the puzzle. And until you kind of put it all together, which we're not even at a point yet, this problem gets exponentially worse each day.
I think that's correct. I think first, though, we should focus on stopping additional illegals from crossing the border. Secondarily, we also need to enforce our employment laws, our verification system. We need to take action with respect to a national E-Verify program. We need to crack down on employers. But as you rightly point out, Jordan, that can be very, very difficult with respect to a large segment of illegals. Why? Because they're working as day laborers. And so if you go to many large cities in the United States, you will find immigrants congregating. They're waiting for homeowners to pick them up and say, can you do some masonry work? Can you clean our yard or paint the house today? And these individuals are picked up. They do their job, they're paid in cash, and then they disappear back into the underground shadows, and they continue to place pressure on legal Americans in terms of the salaries and incomes that they earn. So I think it's part of the puzzle, but I think E-Verify is not yet a magic bullet.
All right, let's go right back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Joy in Michigan, online for Joy. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for taking my call. And I want to commend President Trump and taking and whatever he's doing to try to help with the situation. But this Congress that just wants open borders, they don't seem to have a solution in regards to the situation or how they're going to take care of these people. And I wonder, and I wanted to know, is it possible that illegal immigrants can get aid once they get in? Is that the incentive that maybe bringing them in, for example, food stamps, Medicaid? You think that?
Yes. I mean, we have a massive entitlement program in our country. There's a lot of fraud in that program. There's people who grow up here with their entire lives and don't know that all their information has been is phony. I mean, this is part of the larger issue, is that we are also undermining our social safety nets that we put in place to make sure we don't have humanitarian crisis in a first world country like the United States of America.
Yeah, right. And, you know, we are a very compassionate society, probably the most compassionate society in the world. other countries around the world, if they had this border problem, they would resort to draconian measures and to violence to keep their borders secure. And we're not like that. And in our country, when someone is an illegal immigrant and they show up at the ER, for example, we are not going to turn them away. We are going to treat them because that's who we are. We're compassionate, we're humane, but it does really overload the system. What Attorney General Barr is doing basically is restating the law. If you go back and read, you know, the Immigration and Nationality Act, and in spite of the machinations of the ACLU and other human rights groups, this is not inhumane, because even now, with people who are not eligible for a bond hearing, the Department of Homeland Security has the discretion to parole people, even if they're not eligible for bond, based on humanitarian grounds, and they do that sometimes. Also, this new rule, or not a new rule, reinforcing the old rule, has no impact on unaccompanied children. They're always exempt from removal. And then not only that, most parents with children are automatically paroled into society. So it's not inhumane. What we're trying to do is to get control of the situation. And the situation, the crisis on the border, that in itself is inhumane, you know, as we try to work through this problem. And until we fix it, until Congress takes this seriously, Jordan, we will continue to be a magnet, not only for illegal immigrants, we will continue to be a magnet for sex traffickers and for drug cartels. They need to fix the problem. I hope Senator Graham has some luck.
Yeah, Teresa's calling from Arizona on line 3. Teresa, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi. I'm from originally from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I lived in Yuma, Arizona for 30 years with a car dealership that we had.
Yep.
And then we also now live in Tucson, Arizona. And Albuquerque is now the highest per capita robbery theft community in our nation because of all the illegal immigrants and all the crime and drugs that are there. Yuma, Arizona, the mayor of Yuma, Arizona, just declared a state of an emergency yesterday because they cannot handle all the illegal immigrants coming into that city. And it's a smaller town. It's 125,000, 150,000 range. And they just don't have the manpower, the people power to handle the illegal immigrants at the border. So they're just letting them on the streets right now, emergency status right now in Yuma, Arizona. Tucson, Arizona, Board of Supervisors rejected federal money to protect the border. And there's a movement to try to make Tucson, Arizona a sanctuary city. And lastly, in Texas, they now have an Ebola virus outbreak where they detain 50 illegal immigrants at the border, and because they are now in they're contaminated and they don't want to bring that into our country.
It's horrendous. I mean, I think, listen, you live there. This is from the mayor of Yuma. He said, quote, he warned of, and this is in the United States of America, mobs of people, quote, roaming the streets looking to satisfy basic human needs, clashing with citizens looking to protect their own property. So you're talking about physical violence on the streets, really horrendous conditions for people. There's an imminent threat on having too many migrants police our community.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So know what happens tomorrow. We know where Washington's focus will be attention. Instead of issues like the mayor in Yuma having to declare a citywide emergency and saying, we can't afford this. There's going to be this humanitarian crisis on our streets, clashing between individuals, which gets very dangerous very quickly, folks, is what he's saying. Is that you could have physical violence, that people can't meet their basic human needs, bathroom facilities, food, and that the town has thrown up its hands and said, we can't meet this anymore. So I want to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Jonah in New York on line one. Jonah, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks, guys. Right to it. So it's pretty obvious that everyone's figured this out as a political matter. The solutions are there. Lindsey Graham's going to be a great one to paddle through a lot of this. The question I have is, we have to win the political argument, not not the legal issue, and because the solutions are there. And how do we take away the political argument? They keep cutting our legs out from underneath us because it's such a hot topic for the left. But why aren't we talking more about legal immigration as an offset? Because the notion is they make it sound like we're anti-immigrant. We're not.
Well, we're going to get to a point, Jonah. Also, I mean, I think, and you know, you can respond to this. You get to a point, you let this go on too long, you're not going to even have that as an argument. You're not going to be able to say, well, what about legal? Because you're going to have to stop that. You're going to have to cut off the legal immigration to our country because of the illegal immigration, which is the biggest problem. It's people who actually did follow the law. And so, again, I think we have to get through the next election cycle. I don't think that we are going to solve all of this. I think that Senator Graham is trying to look at the one specific angle, Wes, of asylum, that he wants to vote on. He wants to put it forward. So it's a piece of the puzzle. But I think we'll probably have to go through the next election cycle to depoliticize this and see more cities like Yuma, unfortunately, saying, listen, New York Times, who now will declare it's a crisis. You should have been here 2 months ago declaring it's a crisis, but you were arguing over semantics then. We don't do that anymore. So the humanitarian angle is going, and that's horrible. That's what it will take, is that the imagery would get so horrendous that people do something.
Yeah, I mean, gradually, some Democrats and some of the media are realizing this is a real, real, true crisis, that there is an emergency on the border. Yesterday, the Department of Homeland Security Advisory Council report that I mentioned earlier that came out, that is a nonpartisan group of people that advise the Department of Homeland Security, and they made specific recommendations that I think Senator Graham is also looking at. Among them was to establish 3 or 4 new regional processing centers to help with the humanitarian needs on the border and to expedite asylum claims. But they also want Congress to act to change the immigration laws. For example, readdressing the Flores decision, which says you can't keep a child in custody for more than 20 days. The department's having a lot of difficulty finding foster homes and other care for these children. And also they asked that, and this seems like a common sense solution, that all asylum claims under this recommendation from this advisory council have to be made at a legal port of entry. If you truly have credible fear, if you are in danger because of your religion or your politics and you ask for asylum, why would you not come through a legal port of entry? And right now, you don't have to do that under present U.S. law.
All right, let's go right back to the phones. Jeff is calling from California on line 2. Jeff, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks for taking me. My question is, why can't the president actually sign an executive order and make federally prosecute even the individual, maybe put a fear in people that want to hire these illegals?
It's interesting, Jeff, you come from a state that has prohibited cities from using E-Verify. So that is statewide in the most populated state in the country, in California. So, Harry, the issue is that, one, he doesn't I don't believe – I think you'd be getting into Barack Obama immigration territory if you started doing that without an act of Congress.
Two issues. First, does the president have the legal authority? And then number two, even assuming he has the legal authority, will some court enjoin the issuance of such authority? With respect to the first proposition, it's doubtful that the president has legal authority to unilaterally issue an executive order that would indeed be enforceable constitutionally against American citizens, number one, because this would impose penalties on American citizens. And so I think if we go back to the Constitution, if we go back to the rule of law, I think what we need is something that is comprehensive, and that requires Congress to act. And it certainly will require a bipartisan solution, something that hopefully President Trump can sign. But I don't think the president can do this.
It's illegal to hire illegal immigrants. We see the ICE bus. So when it does happen, those laws are there to an extent. I think it's when you're looking at the more preventative measures. So you're talking about how do you get ahead of that? So it's not just ICE focusing in on one industry and then having those massive immigration busts. And we saw it a lot under the Obama administration as well. So there was a lot of deportations there happening at those mass camps because of the big businesses. And they are penalized. So to an extent, the law is there, but it's a gamble that a lot of these industries can take and say, we can pay the fines. If we get caught up in this, we'll pay the fines, we'll move along. Back to the phones we go, kind of in a similar vein, because it makes sense that we would have these kind of policies in place. And a lot of times the laws are there, they're just not getting enforced, or they can't be enforced at a mass scale enough to really have the impact they should be. EK is calling from California. Online 5, the final call of the day. EK, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I guess I'll just jump straight into it. So one of the things that I think is kind of the most unpopular opinions is if you want to go ahead and get rid of illegal immigration, because what I hear is just a lot of just talk about that so much, and I think that we don't really put the mirror up to our own faces and see that to some degree, as Americans, we're kind of our own worst enemy when it comes to illegal immigration, in the sense that if we just have a sense of empathy and we switch the roles, and let's say Mexico was the one who was kind of having all the economic prosperity and we were trying to go over there, well, just put yourself in somebody else's shoes. You don't speak Spanish. You don't know their culture. You don't know anything about what's kind of going on over there. All you know is that there's possibly a better life. So when you get there, if you are being handed a job, 9 times out of 10, you're being handed a job by your own, by the citizen of that country. So for us to have this disdain, I understand that we need to fix the problem, but I think the real problem, the fixing that problem, building a wall and things like that, seems to be reactive. It's not proactive.
Well, I don't think we're at a point anymore where we could just be proactive. I mean, I think you have to have both. I think you have to have measures, but I don't disagree with anything you said up until that point. I think that you're missing kind of a key point of this new crisis. And that's not this group. These are entire families coming over at one time, creating humanitarian. So our social network, our social welfare systems cannot keep up with the demand. And so the cities, the hospitals, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all these programs that are put in place cannot keep up with the demand that's being put on them. So if the services can't be there, and so this is not the one guy coming over to work to send back the money. That's kind of how I think you're viewing it. This is expanded into this post-Mexico into Central American crisis. We talk about it more. This is a big issue. Want to talk about it next time on Jay Sekulow Live. Tomorrow, the Mueller Report.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.